from your lonely anger.
Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about the scrap of the union, breaking news as a scrap. We're talking about the killing up in Boston. So we're going to let that play out before we come back.
You also helped navigate a major strike against GM. Brian, thanks for joining us. Let's start with your gut reaction to this agreement based on what you know about the term so far.
Well, it's got to be passed by the membership, but it sure looks like a great agreement. We knew it was going to be a good agreement even before the strike, just given how well these companies were doing. But you're talking about combined, not just the 25% increase over the life of the contract in regular salary, but over 30% when you include the COLA that's been reinstated. There's a $5,000 signing fee. I've read, this is all speculated, they haven't released the document. It sounds like there's some pension improvements. It is a game changer for temporary workers who now move to paid status 90 days. It's just it's a boon to the workers. It's going to be a boon to other manufacturing workers because even the non-union companies have to compete with this. And more importantly, it's going to really jumpstart our economy because rather than Wall Street, where money just sort of stays in people's pockets, our folks spend their money. So this will really affect the economy in a positive way.
Brian, do you see union members approving this deal? I mean, it's a big question. We won't know until we know, but do you see this moving forward?
Well, gosh, it's hard to predict. I think so. But because of the way this was done and it's been very public and some of the audacious demands, I think President Bain called it early on, there could be some expectations in some different areas. But, boy, this is really a record deal. It really is. I mean, it's a game changer in people's lives. And, it is up to the workers. It's their employment contract. And the one thing that I always want people to realize, it's really about them. It's not about us.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, is there going to be any pain for Ford to really make this happen money-wise? Are there going to be any knock-on effects down the line that might not make this seem like a smooth deal for workers?
Well, during the negotiation, there's a bit of theater. So, right now the cost of the car is about 7 to 8% of the entire car. That will go up a little bit, but that's all the labor cost there is. They're going to have a fixed labor cost. Even some things like, they shut down the Kentucky plant that produces the Ford F-150. That's been about a week, but maybe they don't do the long shutdown that they usually do at Christmas or over July, and they make up that week, so they'll pick up that production in a different way. It's gonna not be as lucrative in terms of their bottom line, but at the same time, there's plenty of money in these companies, and I believe the companies are very well.
Yeah. Over the course of this strike, we've seen that the UAW has not been hesitant to escalate a strike if need be, but now Ford has come to a tentative deal. What does this mean for Stellantis and GM? Does this put pressure on them to agree to similar conditions? What happens on the Stellantis and GM front of this strike?
Christian, it's a new world here because they struck all of them together, but the Ruger method is to create a pattern. So Ford has now set that pattern. I would expect that there would be some slight differences because of the way the companies are structured, but I would expect if this passes, this becomes the pattern for those two other companies. And the fact that Ford will be up to full strength now and these other companies will still be on strike is an incentive for them to get their piece done as well. I believe that you're going to see this as a pattern that will start moving as well.
Former UAW spokesman Brian Rothenberg. Brian, I'm sure we'll have to have you back once we hear more about Stellantis and GM, but for the time being, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. So we're following more breaking news tonight out of Lewiston, Maine, where there is an active shooter situation. Maine State Police is asking residents to shelter in place with the doors locked. Investigators releasing pictures of this man who they are searching for tonight. Governor Janet Mills confirmed she has been briefed on the situation. Tips News National Correspondent Vanessa Mashanya is following the latest for us tonight. Vanessa, this is still developing.
This man has an assault rifle.
What
is it
that we do know at this hour?
Yeah, Christian, there is a lot still up in the air. Right now, we do know that both residents and businesses are being asked by Androscoggin County officers, sheriff's deputies to shelter in place, lock the doors because they are still searching for the suspects, possibly suspects. We do know that there are at least two shooting scenes that authorities are aware of. The Sun Journal, the Lewiston Sun Journal, the local newspaper there, is reporting that this broke out around 8 p.m. Eastern time at a bowling alley, a local bowling alley, and then that there was another scene at a nearby sports bar. Again, Janet Mills, the governor, she has said that she's aware of the situation. She's been briefed, and again, she's echoing what law enforcement is saying, urging all people in the area to follow the directions of state and local law enforcement. Lewiston is actually the second biggest city in Maine. It's right between Portland and the capital of Augusta. There's a few colleges there. It's a college town. So this is a very scary situation for those folks. People who are out, you know, about in, around their homes or going to restaurants, you know, being told to shelter in place. So, again, that's about all we know. It's not very much. We'll definitely keep an eye on the situation, Kristen.
Vanessa Mashanya, staying on this breaking news for us. Vanessa, many thanks. We appreciate your reporting. Folks, still ahead, Israel doubles down on its vows to punish Hamas. But is the ground invasion of Gaza still the plan? We'll have the latest coming up next.
Hey, Tara there. The only gossip friend that lets you change your gossip like you change your clothes.
They're shooting up in Maine, and the man got an assault rifle, and he shoot people up in Maine. So we had said earlier, ban the assault rifle, stop the killing of saving babies. We had said that earlier. I'm going to, and then the unions, before they come back to work, so there's lots going on. But I want you to stay in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota. I want you to stay abreast on what's going on. This is Bible class tonight. This night is Bible class. When I said Bible class, you can't be talking about God, and you can't be talking about the killings that's going on. Right now, you got two guys with assault rifles shooting people up in Maine that's coming on the news. So you have to stay sheltered in the house. But I'm praying for you tonight that you might understand some of the stuff that's going on. This is Bible class night. And the scripture I want you to read for tonight, Psalms 119 and Exodus 14:14. And Exodus 14:14, God said, Moses, step back and let me handle this. And I want to tell you tonight, you have to step back and let God handle all this killing and murder and hate that's going on, all this, these wars, rumors of war. There's a war over in the Middle East. People are dying. There's a war over in Russia. So you have to step back and let God handle it. And what you can do tonight is pray and read that scripture, Psalm 119, Exodus 14:14, and let God direct his path. And therefore, right now as I speak, there's a hurricane down in Mexico, and there's a snowstorm up in going up around South Dakota. There's a snowstorm as I speak tonight. So we got weather all over, and the weather, God controlled the storm, the weather, the floods. Until man obey God, we're going to continue to have storm after storm, flood after flood, because man is disobedient to God. And until he get obedient and begin to repent, and like Mama Joe always said, if my people are called by my name, I'm going to accept and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. And people need to turn. The wall that they got in Israel, and, you know, it's so much of killing going on. I want to play a little of that before I get into the music part.
Heck. Once you read the news, what stands before our eyes is only one thing, saving the country, achieving victory. We are raining hellfire on Hamas. We have already eliminated thousands of terrorists. This is only the beginning. Netanyahu called October 7th a dark day in Israel's history, with more than 1,400 Israelis, many of them civilians, murdered, and more than 200 people abducted and taken into Gaza. After negotiations, Hamas has released four of those hostages. Israelis have spent weeks now under the shadow of air raid sirens as Hamas keeps firing rockets. Many of them do get intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome, but some have still caused damage and injuries in communities under attack. On top of that, Israel says Hamas is still trying to find ways to get in and cause carnage. The Israeli military says this video shows its efforts to stop alleged infiltration attempts by sea by at least two Hamas divers just north of Gaza. Scripps News is independently verified this video or location or what exactly happened here. These attacks come as the anticipation for that Israeli ground assault keeps building, and Israel continues warning people in Gaza to head south while it pounds Hamas targets.
Lights of border in Gaza. Right now we're hearing another jet pass overhead. And I can tell you that the intensity is really incredible to listen to.
Folks, that was happening as our own Jason Bellini was doing a live report just a mile north of the Gaza border earlier in the day. President Biden says the U.S. is supporting Israel's right to defend itself as it has for decades.
Israel has the right, and I would add a responsibility, to respond to the slaughter of their people. And we will ensure Israel has what it needs to defend itself against these terrorists. That's a guarantee.
But concern over the conflict escalating beyond Gaza has loomed large over ever since the Hamas assault. Now, sources tell the Wall Street Journal Israel has agreed to delay its invasion for now to give the U.S. more time to move air defenses in place to protect U.S. troops in the region. The White House hasn't specifically addressed this report. The paper reports the concern is for American soldiers serving in Iraq, Syria, Kuwait, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. Until the invasion actually happens, Israel's airstrikes aren't limited to Gaza City itself. This is the destruction left behind after airstrikes in southern Gaza outside the evacuation zone. United Nations officials warn the siege and bombardments are taking a devastating toll on ordinary people who have nothing to do with terrorism.
The hospitals will not be able to deliver life-saving services, nor keep the life support machines, nor the incubators on if they do not receive fuel that will help their generators generate electricity for all these machines. We are very, very, very worried about the inability of hospitals to continue receiving war-wounded pregnant women that need to deliver, or all kinds of other sick people in need of help.
Some aid has filtered into Gaza through Egypt, but aid agencies say it's just nowhere near enough to stave off a humanitarian disaster. Joining us now to unpack everything is Ambassador James Jeffrey. He served as U.S. Ambassador to Iraq and Turkey and a special envoy to the Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS. Ambassador Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us. The U.N. paints a pretty dire picture here, and it all comes down don't have it, they have to shut things down. How does the lack of fuel complicate help for civilians or the mission to get hostages home?
First of all, Christian, thank you for having me on. Fuel is needed, obviously, for ambulances and to move people, but more importantly, to run generators and other mobile electrical generating capabilities for hospitals and other things. Also, you need fuel for the pumps on the water system. The Israelis have turned part of the water system back on, but you need fuel to get that water flowing. And the problem is twofold. First, Hamas uses this fuel to propel the rockets that you just showed swimming into a neighborhood in Israel, not far from Tel Aviv. And the Israelis believe, and they have a lot of experience with this, that Hamas will take part or all of the fuel for their own purposes. Secondly, the Israelis are claiming, this hasn't been verified, but they show pictures that there's a lot of stored Hamas fuel in Gaza, and as Hamas is the governing authority, Israel says they should turn that fuel over to civilian authorities. This thing is not going to get resolved very quickly because the Israelis see this as endangering their civilians who are on the receiving end of these rockets.
Ambassador Jeffrey, I want to focus in on the fuel storage in Gaza. The Israel Defense Forces said on X earlier, the UN should just ask Hamas for fuel, claiming they have half a million liters of fuel. Would the UN even be able to cooperate with Hamas to help keep people in Gaza alive? And if so, how exactly would that work?
Look, the UN works every day intimately with Hamas in Gaza. The UN is a major support mechanism for the people of Gaza, the refugees, and the people who always lived there. And Hamas is the political government as well as a terrorist militant force. Of course they could work together, but again, we don't have independent confirmation that those fuel tanks are full. If they are full, frankly, Israel has a point.
Netanyahu has warned of a long war, something Israeli troops are prepared for, but what do we expect to see in Gaza as the conflict drags out? And what do you see as the aftermath of all of this? If we could forecast a bit and look ahead, you know, what happens down the line?
What I can assure you, Christian, is that President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu and a lot of soldiers, including now American soldiers, are thinking of nothing but that because we have many risky paths ahead. It will be a very difficult fight to really take out all of Hamas, as Netanyahu is arguing he has to do in Gaza. And he does have to decimate their ranks. He does have to ensure they can't launch another attack. Whether he can get all of them or not, that's another question. But the other problem that you've been reporting is this delay because we are moving massive air defense forces from the United States into the region to reinforce the ships that are already there to provide air defense against rockets and missiles that are flying towards our troops from Iranian surrogates in Iraq, in Syria, and in Yemen. This is a dangerous escalation. I've been on the receiving end of Iranian surrogates and my people in Syria and Iraq. This is very dangerous.
I want to get to that a bit later, but right now, given your experience, do you see any analogs to what it is that's playing out in Israel with trying to root out Hamas, trying to get hostages back? Is there anything in your experience that we can look to maybe see exactly what this could look like in the days and weeks ahead?
The closest I can come is the fight that we did against the Islamic State, which was another massive terrorist force with a huge army, 35,000, controlling 1.9 million people in Syria and Iraq in 2015. Using a lot of local forces, but American special forces, American bombing, we took them down in several major cities, Mosul in northern Iraq, Raqqa in northeast Syria and Dar es Zor. There was considerable destruction. There was considerable civilian casualties, but we did take them down. So that's a military analogy to the Gaza fight. The hostage situation and the regional escalation, those are elements we didn't have with the Islamic State. They didn't have that many hostages, and as you know, they typically quickly beheaded them, and the whole region was cheering us on to take down the Islamic State. That's not the case with Hamas.
And that's James Jeffrey. Thank you so much for your insights. We appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to speak again sometime down the line. For following breaking news, reports of an active shooter situation with multiple casualties in Lewiston, Maine. An update from what we're learning coming up next.
I'm Bethany Jones. This is my dog, Pepper. We've been using the Halo collar for about half a year. We looked at a bunch of different collars. I looked at Halo, but the neighbors was reportive.
There's an active shooter in Maine, and the shooter done killed 4 or 5 people, and he with an assault rifle, and we got to deal with the killing that's going on in America with these assault rifles that is in the hands of the children, in the hands of people. So there's a killer going around Maine right now with assault weapon. They get telling the people to shelter in place till they find 2 people that assault weapons right now. What I'm saying to you, we got to find how we can stop some of that going on. The only way to stop that by us working on it.
Oh, Lord, remember me.
I want to break in on this news where the man is shooting mass shooter. I want to break in on that news right now.
New developments tonight out of Washington. A sitting Democratic congressman is set to plead guilty after being charged with falsely pulling a fire alarm inside the Capitol. Congressman Jamal Bowman of New York is facing a misdemeanor charge over the incident. This is all happening while the House was set to vote on a spending bill to avoid
I might break in on our program to tell you about the killing, the shooting that's going on in Maine as I speak tonight. They got an active shooter with rifles shooting people up in Maine. And we have to stop the killing and save the baby. But we're going back. Now, Joe, don't forget Psalms 119 and Exodus 14:14, God is in control. Every letter, every telephone call, I'm praying for you.
Home items from makers. Etsy has home. Shop now.
There's a new top tier for members in the Fuel Rewards program that's next level rewarding. It's platinum status.
Praise the Lord. Mighty clouds. So many folks don't believe God cares. For you that don't believe He cares, we stop to tell you tonight. Listen. How many know He cares?
Oh,
I don't have no doubt about it. He cares for me.
Oh,
You see, he's ruined.
How much you care?
How much you love me? You know, he died. Did he die?
Let's just do this while we're here. The Lord.
I want you to get ready for God to bless you tonight as the man saying the Lord is blessing me. And tonight, whatever you're going through, I want to tell you God is blessing you right now, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Storms and snowstorms up in South Dakota, and there right now there's we got right there in Mexico, hurricanes, storms, mass shooting that's going on, and murder going on, but God is blessing you right now. I just want to say that before I pray for you tonight. If you got a need, plan a seed, go to my website, theseedabrahamyourwebsite.com, or go to Cash Out, Bishop TT, and go to Cash Out or go to PayPal. I want to stay in connection with you tonight. That God is healing. The lady said she has spasm in her back. We prayed before the show. She all right. And young lady said she got to go to court with her son in the morning. I told her it's going to be all right. God is a healer. And he's blessing me right now. And I want you to receive the blessing that God got for you. If you're in Arkansas, Mississippi, wherever you might be, God is blessing you. And whatever you're going through, God wants you to go through it. Exodus 14:14, he says, my fight. And thank you, Mama Jo. Thank you, Mother Frances. Mother Ross, thank you. I want to thank you, Mother Carrie Nunn. Thank you, kind spirit. I want to thank you, Mother Rosa Cook, and all the families that call in that's in prayer. This is the month for us to stay in prayer. Father God, the God of Abraham, God of Jacob, Father God, we want you to give a blessing to everybody listening tonight. I wanted to know that the blessing is coming, and you come for the blessing. Sister Margaret, for Sister Debbie, this is for you, right down in Texas. Sister Margaret, this is for you. And I want to tell you, Brother Joe, this is for you. I want to tell you that your plans stand for you, Lisa. This is for you, that Christian, those that God is blessing right now. Accept the blessing of God.
Your IEEE membership means access to insurance products.
Let God abide, and victory gonna come every time when you let God abide.
We decided to get together to do something, and we hope and meet your approval. Gloria, come up to the microphone if she's still there. Tina, come to the microphone. Dolores Washington. Ryan Andrews. Clyde Brown. Ryan's son-in-law. Reuben Lightfoot. Reverend Whitman. Barrett Sisters. Minnie Collier. Y'all get in your section. Altos together. All right, y'all get some sections. Y'all know, just like the choir. Tenors get in the middle. All right, all the basses, all of y'all sing soprano tonight, okay? In the early 40s and 50s, a group of singers blazed a trail across this country. And in that group was a young boy named Narcellus McKissick, Eugene Smith, Robert Anderson, Willie Webb, Dolores Barrett, Bessie Volk, Sadie Durr. And they were all led by a great lady, Miss Roberta Martin. They had a theme song every time you saw the Martin singers. They opened up by singing.
Through all your trials.
And through trials.
expect me to do, join in with a single chord.
They make it very easy for us to keep our...
I don't care what you're going through. There's nothing too hard that God can't do for you. There's nothing that you've been in, nothing that you've done, that God can't forgive you. A lot of times we go back and pick it up, but the Lord has thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. But I dare you to trust him on tonight, and you can take it to the King. Now go help me sing it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, 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 my, my. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh. Truth is, I'm tired, I've sinned a few, I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, truth is I'm weak. No strength to fight. No tears to cry. Even if I try. But still my soul refuses to die. One time will change my life. Take me to the key. I don't have much to bring. My heart's on the deep end. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there. The came upon your glove and sing to you the song. They take me to the key. Truth is it's time to stop playing this game. We need a word for the people.
Let you know.
situation is too big for you.
Yes, yes.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. If you're at home, you need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down on your knees. Lift your head. Open your mouth. Throw your head back. And just begin to call the name of Jesus. Jesus. Call him Lord. Come on, Lord.